Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 3rd, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 87, the first paragraph that begins with, "We usually conclude," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Maria F., who will be reading the 12 steps, Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Sandy W., Shannon M., and Kara L. The share ID for Sunday, February 2nd, special edition, is 14,058. That's 14058. And for this morning's February 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 14,059. That's 14059. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary B., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Maria F. in Ireland to read the 12 steps, please.
This is Maria F., recovered in Dublin, Ireland. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Powerless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
And thank you, Maria F. Okay, Shelley E., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Shelley E., recovered overeater in, I'm sorry, I forgot where I am, in Texas. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 87, the first paragraph that begins with, "We usually conclude." And Sandy W., if you could get us started, good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. Page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Again, this is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut, in Florida, actually, for one last day before I head back to the cold north. But I'm glad to be here with you all and to share on this paragraph. You know, I was thinking about that there seems to be a lot of research now that supports the benefit of meditation, and it so strikes me how Bill was ahead of his time when he wrote this book. But I guess, you know, that shouldn't really surprise me because, you know, when you're spiritually connected to power that I choose to call God, you know, amazing things do happen, and I'm blessed to have those amazing things happening in my life because of this program. One of them being that natural intuition that these paragraphs talk about, that deep down kind of knowing that only God has been able to provide. You know, I was reflecting back to prior to program and remembering how much time I spent, really wasted in indecision. You know, I so feared making the wrong decisions that I would just make no decision at all, which of course, you know, now I realize really is a decision in itself. And the decisions I did make were, of course, always about me and my needs. So to be opened up by God and this program to care about others' needs, you know, to legitimately care, not just pretend to like I used to, you know, it's such a new concept to me, but it's helped my relationship so very much. Because what I'm finding is that the more I care and act in ways of concern for others, the more I am taken care of in return without even trying or sometimes knowing what my real needs are. note, this practice of starting my day in prayer and meditation, focusing it on helping others, you know, really solidifies that for me each day. Yes, you know, I've wasted time and energy focused on maneuvering things to get my way, and as I sometimes saw but certainly never learned from, that never worked. But now in spending time in prayer and meditation with God, putting others' needs first, and starting my day that way, I'm given the best gift of all, peace, joy, and fulfillment. And that's all and only because of this program and the connection to God that it's given to me. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you so much for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Sandy, for getting us started this morning. Okay, who else would like to share on page 87, the first paragraph? We usually conclude.
Irene B.
Irene B.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Devorah S.
Devorah S.
Maria S.
And Maria S. Okay. That was easy, guys. I'm not sure. There's some weird background noise in there, but maybe Mo can fix that. Okay. I have Irene B, Reggie O, Sherry Jo C, Deborah G, Devorah S, and Maria S. So Irene B, go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B, an abstinent recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So thankful for this meeting. Always am. A spirit full of gratitude is sure a good antidote to all my self-defeating self-talk. I love this paragraph, and I feel compelled to share my experience, strength, and hope. My story is different in some respects, or maybe exactly the same in others. I don't know. But I do know that when I went into therapy, I had to be taught to be assertive because I was such a pushover because I did not matter. My role was to acquiesce to everything and everything around me. And I rebelled, but that was my role. That's what was expected of me. And a part of me rebelled and a part of me acquiesced, a big, huge part of me acquiesced. And I just want to share, and I apologize if I offend anybody, but I need to speak from my experience, strength, and hope. And with this paragraph, I had difficulty, and I told my sponsor, I have real difficulty with this. And it's not this paragraph, because this paragraph is beautiful. There's another paragraph in the book where it says, we are not to pray about ourselves at all. And I asked my sponsor, how can that be? I need to pray for myself. And she said, Irene, this book was written, remember, the audience was men, alcoholic men, who never had a thought for anyone else but themselves. So they had to be relieved of that pattern of thinking and being because they thought of no one but themselves ever. So that needed to be eradicated, that self-seeking, always thinking of themselves first and never, ever giving a second thought to anybody else. Well, that's not my experience. And I love this paragraph because it says in here, it says, and be careful to make no requests for ourselves only. Let's not forget that word, only. That implies that it's okay to make requests for ourselves. And I have requested God to please help me heal. First from desperation, and now I ask for him to heal me so he can open my eyes and give me a clear vision so I can learn to discern his will for my life. And I used to be resentful of the concept of being of service to others.
Time, please.
But, oops. I'll just say that I was tired of being taken advantage of, and that God doesn't need me. He's not taking advantage of me. He's my Heavenly Father who understands my needs. He understands what I need, and that's why he tells me to be of service to others, because that's ultimately what's going to help me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, Reggio, you are up next, followed by Sherry Jo C.
Thank you, Kathleen, and thanks so much for your service this morning and everyone who's on the line. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And you know, this whole section on Step 11 is giving me, it's just giving me such peace this time around with the readings. You know, it's like we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we'd be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, you know. And it started with, you know, in considering our plans for the day, we ask God to direct our thinking. It goes on. If I'm indecisive, I ask God for an inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. And then I relax and take it easy. I don't struggle. And then this is just a continuation, you know, of how much work and effort and time and wasted energy that I've actually used in my life that could have gone to better things, trying to do everything myself. When this reading of chapter 11 or step 11 is telling me, you know, it's I give it to God, that God does most of the work, you know, and I'm really grateful for that. And I that I can give something over to God that I used to think I had to just fix immediately and go on and relax and take it easy and go on about my day is absolutely amazing to me at times, and I'm so deeply grateful for it. And you know, this part about careful to make no requests for ourselves only. I thought about that over time, too. I thought about that over time. And over time, what's come to me is that as I grow into my care for other people and really wanting to be of service and bringing other people in and not, you know, more about what I can give rather than what I can get. And it's like everything that I do, you know, like all this work that I do in this 12-step program and, you know, and in a vision for you here, everything that I do that makes me closer to God and turning my will over to the high, you know, to a higher will, it actually benefits other people. And I think about that when I go into these prayers, you know, it's like I come here and then my work this morning, I love it. It's my whatever it is when I come here in the morning, and it makes my day, but it also puts me in a better place so that I can be available in the service to other people, that I be given, shown what each next step is to be. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, and I I'm looking at that today as, yeah, it asks of more, you know, more prayer. What's okay, I've done this, what's next, you know? And sometimes when I write down what I'm to do for the day, it's like I know the things that I need to do, but I don't exactly know when or where, what place to put them. And now I can just write them down in my, wherever I write this, my list, and give it over and know that I'll be shown which is next. So anyway, that's my share, and really grateful to be here and for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Richie O. Sherry Jo C., it is your turn, and you will be followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. My name is Sherry Jo C. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Southern California, joining the call live and speaking here for the first time today. I've been attending faithfully for the last 6 months. I don't know if I was living in a cave somewhere that I didn't know about vision, but you all have revitalized my program to an extent that I can't even express, and I am eternally grateful. I came to OA 30 years ago and fell into the loving arms of a meeting in Detroit, Michigan called the Back to Basics Abstinence Meeting. And in reading the big book again here with you all, I'm reminded of those early days of my program, and I faithfully have practiced this step for 27 years of my program. And I can tell you the difference between those 27 years that I was faithfully practicing my meditation in the morning, along with all the other steps, and 2.5 years where I was not. And I've come back I've been abstinent that entire time, but as we know, abstinence is necessary but not sufficient for a full recovery. And to me, this step is a little bit like the difference between driving a car that has flat tires and a car that has superstar sort of Wonder Woman tires that can get through anything. And my morning meditation is absolutely essential, because what I saw when I stopped practicing this step for 2.5 years, because I fell away from pretty much all the most spiritual steps. I fell away from step 2, 3, and 11 and started running my own life again. And what's funny is when I start running my own life, I watch it fall apart. I did remain abstinent physically, and I was working all of the steps really, but not fully, and most especially not this step fully, because I was not taking that time in the morning, and I watched my life become thoroughly unmanageable. What I love about this reading is two parts in particular. It says, a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. And I'm reminded of our other literature that says we have to stop the deadly business of living alone with our problems. And that's what I started doing those 2.5 years that I didn't faithfully work this step. And it did become a deadly business, because I lost all semblance of sanity. I looked like a normal person on the outside. And yes, I was abstinent. My abstinence is essential and foundational, and it's my lifestyle, and it's been my lifestyle for 30 years. But without the spiritual steps and without practicing this step on a daily basis, I started becoming absolutely insane. The other part I love is that we will be given what we need to take care of such problems, and I'm ever so grateful for all of your help and, as I said, for revitalizing my program with you all here in this community. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry Josie. Okay, Deborah G., you are up, followed by Devorah S.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Kathleen, and everyone that has made this meeting possible this morning and also made this reading possible. I love to read this in the morning because it gives me some guidance, some direction, and it reminds me that it's not about me and my life. That's already taken care of by God. You know, what a relief, what a release that I don't have to get into my head. That doesn't mean that I don't go there, self-will, self-centeredness in my head and all that, because it happens. That's the human condition. And sometimes it goes awry up there, but I can just reel it back in, you know, by reading this, by praying this, and just being open. Use me, use me, use me. Remembering everything else is taken care of. Allow things, allow my day to unfold. Just doing the next right thing, whatever God presents to me, and being of service, walking with an open heart. Use me, use me, use me. Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful way to live my day today. Thank you all for helping me to be aware of that and remind myself that that's all it is. Very simple. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Devorah S., it's your turn, and you will be followed by Maria S.
Thank you, moderator, and thank you, everyone, on this meeting that makes this meeting possible. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And this is a very powerful, this meeting I'm listening to. I listened to the earlier meeting as well, and I'm just hearing so much inspiration. And, you know, what I see here is, you know, the previous paragraph was talking about upon awakening, you know, when we retire at night, and then upon awakening. And now it's telling us that throughout the day, it's not just, you know, in the morning and at night, but throughout the day, I must always keep vigilant of what my purpose is here, what my purpose here is. And that is to humble myself and to seek what I can be of service to other people, and to pray. Prayer is very, very is essential. And I could do that in all sorts of ways. You know, the pause. I could, you know, in my mind, you know, pray for people. Whatever it is, say a word, you know, thy will be done is a prayer. You know, and it has to be, you know, and I have to do this throughout the day because it keeps me connected. It gets me out of me, you know, because that's the root of my problem, selfishness, you know, self-seeking. This is why I'm here today, because this is the basis of this program is to get me out of me, and it's ego reduction. And when I'm able to think of others through prayer and through actions, you know, this is what, that's what God wants from me today. You know, how can I be of usefulness to other people and help them in any way, with a good word, with a smile, whatever it is, but it gets me out of me. And I'm just so grateful because the directions I hear, you know, I was, you know, before program, I thought I had it. Honestly, all I needed to do was to lose 150 pounds and, you know, everything would be fine, you know, and my whole life would be fall into place. But I'm still here 20 years later. Yes, I lost the weight. And thank God it's a tremendous, you know, God's grace, you know. Thank you, God. But, you know, I can't just stop there. Like the previous speaker said, if I, you know, just the abstinence, it's not going to be enough for me, and I need to go further. It's all about, you know, growing spiritually. And when I can grow spiritually and I can have the people around me and I can be helpful to them in any way, you know, that's where I'm growing each day. And each day is another day where I can grow more. I've never arrived. I've never said, oh, I've made it. I'm at the top. And, you know, thank you, God. That's it. Nuh-uh. There's always more. There's always room for improvement, I say, and always room for growth. And I'm, you know, just so grateful to know that it's okay. I'm just, you know, we're just bumping along on this road together. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Devorah S. And just a reminder before I take Maria S., we're on page 87, the first paragraph we usually conclude. And so I'll be taking some more names after Maria, if you want to comment on that. So go ahead, please, Maria.
Good morning. This is Maria F., a recovered compulsive overeater from Dublin in Ireland. And thank you for the service, Kathleen. And I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning from thousands of miles away that I can dial into this meeting. And yeah, full of gratitude for that. And yeah, this is a really great paragraph. And it gives more suggestions for step 11 for prayer meditation. And it says we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer. And for me, it's in that prayer and meditation that I get the opportunity to invite God into my day. Yeah, because this paragraph really speaks to me. What it really speaks to me of is surrender. It reminds me of step 3. And it reminds me of when I made that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. So it's in here that I surrender to God and I'm asking for freedom from the self-will. Yeah, because by step 11, you know, by the time I've reached step 11, I'm no longer running the show because God's in charge, because my plans and ideas, they just didn't work because I was like the tornado. I was roaring through the... Because, you know, I have an ego that tries to reconstruct and it tries to rebuild itself. And my only defense against that ego is my conscious contact with my higher power. And it's through this contact with my higher power that my ego somewhat becomes right-sized. Yeah, and it's in the second half of the paragraph. It tells us to make no requests for ourselves only. Yeah, and on reflection of this today, I remember, you know, when I used to go to God with the Santa Claus list and the script, and I'd be asking God, you know, for what he could give me, for what he could do for me. And not only did I give him the script for me, I gave him the script for everybody else too, especially my family. You know, because it was my character defects, these defects of selfishness and self-centeredness that were at play. Yeah, and the truth is that, you know, I was only praying for others so that I'd gain, because there had to be something in it for me, because in everything that I did, there had to be something in it for me. Yeah, and looking back, you know, comparing, you know, my prayers then to my prayers now, to my prayer meditation, my spiritual practice now, and it really is true a way. It's like, and the steps, it's like comparing night to day, you know, it really is. Yeah, and today, you know, I get to use these steps to ask God to remove my defects of character that I'm powerless over. And I need to do daily steps 10s and ask God what he wants me to be today. You know, God, what you do you want me to be? And praying for God's will, you know, and especially in my prayers, asking God, you know, how do you want me to be of service to others, God? What do you want me to do for others? Because I have one primary purpose in this fellowship, and that's to carry the message to the still struggling compulsive overeater. That's my primary purpose. And I get a chance every day. I get a chance every day to show God gratitude for my recovery. And I can do this is to turn up and do the work and to help others. Because then I get to meet God in the middle. Yeah, and to keep the focus on my side of the street. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Maria S. Okay, who else would like to share on page 87, the first paragraph we usually conclude?
Maria B.
Hello, this is Raquel.
Raquel.
Carrie S.
Carrie S.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Jennifer H.
Grace.
Andy.
Jennifer H. Was that Andy?
Ann B.
Oh, Ann B. Sorry, Ann. Okay.
Mary.
That gives me
H.
Who H?
Mary Grace.
Mary Grace H. Okay. Was that an H, your last initial, Mary Grace?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, let's stop there. Oh, and you're all being so polite this morning. Okay, I have Nadia B., Raquel E., Carrie S., Julie E.B., Jennifer H., Ann B., and Mary Grace H., and hopefully we will get to all of you. So go ahead, please, Nadia B.
Thank you so much for your service, moderator. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. I love, you know, as I'm unpacking this, I see the word problems, and I was thinking, you know, what are my problems usually? And, you know, I have learned in program, you know, my main problems are selfishness, self-centeredness. That's the root of all of it. You know, would I have problems if I didn't have it? I don't know. I've never experienced such a state of mind and body, but you know, in meditation we are invited to hear to listen to our thoughts, you know, and through the day, what am I to do when such problems as selfishness, self-centeredness, you know, arise, and I cannot make a decision, or you know, I get to dig deeper into the roots of all of it. You know, I'm invited to pause. I'm invited to ask for energy, for ability to pause and go back to what I've learned, you know, in step 10 as well. You know, how do I turn from that problem to, you know, to the solution? And that's what I pray for. That's what I train my my mind to do, you know, in this work. This is my therapy. This is my therapeutic. This is everything I've got. I have nothing else. I've run out of options, you know, and food became something that was going to, you know, kill me and my life. So I don't have much of choices here. I pray that I remember. I pray that I get to pause. I pray to that I get to be honest with myself and see what I need to see, because I've wasted a lot of time praying for my selfish ends, you know, giving God laundry lists and you know, controlling everything around me, and even this condition, right? So I get to the root of my problem this way, you know, when I practice, and boy, am I not perfect, but I commit to this practice. I promise God that I will practice. I try to remember to practice this every day because this is my only hope. And just practicing it one day at a time with you guys. And thank you for doing it with me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. Okay, Raquel E., it is your turn, and you'll be followed by Carrie S.
Hello.
Hello,
Director. Here. Yeah, I unmuted myself. It was muted or unmuted already. Thank you, moderator, for your service, and thank you, everybody, for this wonderful session together. This paragraph, you know, has baffled so many people that I tried to work with just for that reason. Why not ask for myself? I mean, if he's a friend, and many places it says, you know, talk to him like to a friend, then why not? And for me, the way I felt I could settle it for others who were willing to listen for myself is that actually we have kind of used up all our coupons for asking for ourselves. Now it's time to ask for others, and doesn't mean that I can't ask for myself. Step 3 and 7 speak about really begging God to change me, to release me of my bondage. What for? So I should be able to better do his work. And 7, my Creator, please take the good and the bad in me, so when I walk out from here, I should be able to better serve you through the people that I'm trying to help. So in going back to where this originates, is from Bill in the hospital on page 13, it says, never was I to pray for myself except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. And when I think about Bill and in what measure God rewarded him, he could have been like top money maker in Wall Street and everything, such a talent before he was really cut down by alcohol. But then look at what empire he built. Look at what we have today in 2020. He's still here with us with the great thing that he established with AA. So actually what he prayed for, that's in the way of being helpful to others. Now as women, and there are more women in OA than there are men, and the other way around is also true, more men in AA, it's true that they had to be, you know, as somebody before said, were so blatantly selfish. So I'll speak of myself, wasn't so blatantly selfish. I was only self-seeking, you know. In every wonderful thing I did, I was looking about how I can build up my persona, you know, like, who will I be when I do this incredible thing? And it was there. Sometimes it was more hidden, sometimes it was more clear. Like it says in, it says that we wanted to control, and as needed, we either became more gracious or more demanding. It's all the same thing. Same thing.
Time, please.
It's looking for, yes. So this I you know, I hope that it makes sense to somebody. It's not to not ask for yourself, but to ask for yourself mostly in the direction of ego reduction and how can I be helpful. Thank you for letting me share, I guess.
Thank you, Raquel E. Okay, Carrie S., you are up, followed by Julie E. B.
Good morning. This is Terry, as in Tom. S in Bend, Oregon.
Thanks, Terry.
That's cool. Oop. That's not my alarm.
Not mine either. Can everyone star one to mute, please?
Okay, I think
go
it's
ahead,
gone.
Terry. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Thanks.
No, that's okay. I am back from my vacation in sunny, warm Mexico. I'm back in Bend, Oregon, where it was 19 degrees last night. So you know, I stayed abstinent. My higher power was with me, and I am just so, so grateful to be on the line live again today. This paragraph has really morphed into an understanding of my relationship with my higher power. My prayers were always, help me have the strength to do my will. You know, I had it all figured out, God. You just give me the strength in order to do what it is I need to do. And what has happened with this big book infusing itself in my life with the vision work that I've done is understanding that it is truly my job to become willing to let go of my ideas and ask my higher power, how can I be of service? And many, many times during the day, I turn to that power outside of myself, and I ask that question. I don't do it perfectly. I certainly have many days and moments of self-will run riot where I'm still trying to control everything. But when I stop and I pause and I follow the directions in this book, the power flows through me to actually stop, get out of my way, and allow myself to surrender to that idea that the power greater than myself knows what it is that I need to be and to do to be of service. And that's with my 12-step work, that's with the opportunities at my spiritual community, that's especially with my employer and the staff and the patients that I impact there. And it has really changed and transformed the way that I deal with life. And like I said, I do not do it perfectly, but I'm so, so grateful. My life really has turned around, and I'm wordless at the miracle that has happened. So I just want to end with wishing everyone an abstinent, spirit-filled day and many blessings. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry S. Okay, we have several people, and I don't know if we're going to get to you all, but we'll see where we go here. So Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Jennifer H.
Hi, I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado, and just really grateful for these very concrete prayers. I do go through awakening very literally and just trace through my day in my head as I do this prayer. And then one day I was just having this prayer and just had this spiritual experience, this learning that I'm asking God for what's next and then for what I need to deal with that. And wow, so here's the premise of the prayer. The premise of the prayer is that I don't even have what it takes. I need to be shown throughout the day, many times throughout the day, the next step. And I don't even have what I need to take care of such problems. I'm praying that I might be given what I need. I might find it in other people. I might find it in inspiration. I might find it as a sheer gift of my higher power. But the idea I had before I came to program was to just really look everywhere inside myself for what I need to take on all my problems. But my problem today is powerlessness, lack of power. And that's good news for me today, because now I know I need to look outside myself for what I need. And my higher power, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and who I can trust, is a relationship. And I just love that higher power is ready to give me what I need. Thanks. time on the clock passed.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Jennifer H., it is your turn, followed by Ann B.
Hi, this is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama, and I'm really grateful for everybody's service. And I'm real grateful for these very clear-cut things that I'm supposed to say because, you know, I'm undisciplined, so it really helps me to have clear and precise instructions, which you guys helped me finally see that. So, you know, part of what I say is please show me all throughout the day what my next step is to be and provide me with anything that I need to take care of any problem. And so I'm really grateful for all that. And the last part also kind of struck me that it says, you know, we're careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. So I don't get to say what the end is. I pray for the end, you know, the outcome. And that was something that I could not understand at all until I got here, that I'm just supposed to show up. You know, my job is to go where I can be of maximum service. Just go there and show up. That's what my job is now. I don't get to say what the end's going to be. And it's a really good example in my work that I would never have picked what I'm doing now, but I like it. And, you know, and I wouldn't have picked to work, you know, to be dry. You know, I told God, I don't want to drive so much. Now I'm driving like sometimes 5 or 6 hours a day, but it's where I'm supposed to be. I mean, I don't, you know, I get to show up and try things and then let God, you know, do my part and let God work out the end. So I don't get to say what the selfish end is going to be because I don't pick the right things. And then it's so funny to me that it says we can see that it doesn't work and we can easily see why, because I could never see that, you know. But then when I became entirely abstinent, you know, I started to have some clue about why that didn't work when I kept praying for the end, for the outcome. You know, that's not going to work. I don't even know why, but it's, I can see that it doesn't work, so I need to do a different way that you guys have shown me. So I'm really grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jennifer H. Okay, Ann B., I don't know if you want to take like a minute and a half, and then Mary Grace can take a minute and a half. We don't have too much time, so go ahead, Ann B., and
okay, Andy, compulsive overeater, abstinent, but don't like the word recovered. This paragraph is reminding me that while I have been really good at prayer every morning, I have not been consistent about meditation, and I need to pray for willingness to do that. You know, I belong to a religious group that strongly discourages all intercessory prayer, and so that has not so much been an issue for me, but I do know that I did used to pray for my marriage to be saved before I would join program, and that didn't happen. So that was kind of a strong discouragement to me to continue intercessory prayer. And I instead, you know, recognize that program is supposed to be about acceptance and not about trying to control. And also, this business of mourning, you know, from what I've heard people talking, when they relapsed, it was always on a day where they didn't do their morning routine. And so I know the morning routine is really important as we wake up. It's a time when the subconscious is closer to the surface and easier to access. And I feel that the insanely trivial excuse comes out of the subconscious. And a lot of program is about cleaning up the subconscious and helping it to give us better intuitions. And so, yeah, I just have to try to pray to be more willing to be meditating in the morning. I know I tend to spend a lot of time on the toilet, and then I feel it's inappropriate to meditate on the toilet. And maybe I should be willing to if that's where I'm sitting. I feel like maybe God won't like it if I do that. But, you know, God... Maybe God doesn't care. I don't know. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann B. And Mary Grace H., if you want to take 1 minute, that's about all we have. So go ahead.
This is Mary Grace. I'm a compulsive overeater from Central Coast, California. Sorry for my nasalness. As you can probably tell, I'm a little sick. But I did want to make the call in today. This is my first time on the call. And I'm just going to concentrate on the one phrase, we may ask for ourselves, help others, however, if others will be helped, because I think that's really important. that we do need to ask God to help us. I volunteer at a school, and before I go into the school, I always say a prayer because I don't want to be crabby or mean to the kids. And so how could I help them if I was? So that's kind of how I work my program. I'm very much in the now and a one day at a time person. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Oh, and thank you, Mary Grace, for keeping us on time here. Okay, so that concludes our sharing. And I just want to thank Team Monday, Maria F., Shelley E., Sandy W., Shannon M., Kara L., for your service this morning. And we are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Shannon M., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes. Shannon M., recovered compulsive reader in Texas. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.